praise Him from your heart right now. Exalt the name of the Lord. Exalt the name of Jesus. He's a worthy God. Come on, let's don't stop now. Let's don't stop now. Lift your voice just for a few moments. Come on. Woo! There could be a miracle that happens in this place while you're lifting up your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And I feel good in the Holy Ghost tonight. Looking forward to what God is going to do. I'm not ignorant. Some people might think I am, and they might halfway be right, but I'm not ignorant to what I feel tonight after we did what, amen, let's rejoice. Somebody just got baptized in Jesus' name. Well, the Bible says angels are rejoicing. Let's rejoice right now. Come on, somebody tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I wonder if you could just praise God like that would be your son that's been backslid, or your daughter, or your neighbor, whoever it is that you've been praying for. Would you praise God like that was them that just went down in Jesus' name? Come on, would you thank God like that was your son, your daughter, your best friend, your cousin, the one that you've been praying for? Would you just thank God right now? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody shout revival. Oh, shout it like you mean it. Shout revival. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Again, I'm not ignorant to what I feel tonight. I know because of what has happened over the past couple of weeks. If you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you could kind of feel that little bit of a pushback. Anybody felt what I felt today? Devil don't like what's going on around here, as the old song says. Felt a little bit of a pushback. I come to put hell on notice. We're going to push back against the pushback. You can do whatever you want to do, but we're going to keep pushing. Keep believing. We're going to keep baptizing people in Jesus' name. We're going to keep laying hands on folks, and they're going to keep receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. 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 Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, the Bible says, immediately, everybody shout that word, we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. If God will help us tonight, just for the next few moments, I promise to be brief, but I do want to obey the Holy Ghost. I want to preach to us just for a little while, saints of an immediate response. Saints of an immediate response. If you're a saint of an immediate response, why don't you just lift your hand right now and just ask the Lord to help us. God, we love you. Thankful for your presence, Lord. Thankful for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for revival. Thank you, Lord, for a breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that destroys every yoke. I pray, God, right now, saturate us with your spirit. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. I feel it's probably best that I put this in, that I qualify what I'm going to say tonight in order to preach about the power of an immediate response. I think I need to preach about the fact that there is peril in an immediate response. I am not preaching tonight about being spontaneous and acting or reacting before God tells you, okay? I'm not preaching about getting ahead of God, because you can go and ask Brother Abraham what happens when you do that, and he can tell you a long story about that. I'm not talking about the immediate response to people. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14 that he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. So let's just get all that out of the way. I'm not giving you a license tonight to get up in somebody's face when they say something to you and say, I'm a saint of immediate response, so I'm going to knock you out in Jesus' name. That's not what I'm talking about. So please Don't misunderstand me, but I'm talking tonight about a church that has an understanding of the times. I'm talking tonight about a church that understands that we are indeed walking towards the last days. We are indeed stepping into a time where the things that we do are more powerful and more dependable than ever before. I'm talking tonight about people that understand when God gives you the green light to do his work, that you have got to be ready and setting on go. Acts chapter 16, in my own opinion, is one of the books, the chapters that show us what raw apostolic revival looks like. There was an undeniable sensitivity to the Spirit that was not reserved for Paul, but it is still obtainable in 2021. I believe tonight that we are still living in the greatest hour of the church. We have not seen our best days yet. We have not seen our greatest revivals yet. Say, Brother Phillips, you've been preaching that since you got here, and I'm going to be preaching it when I leave, because I'm going to tell you what, we are entering in to the greatest hour of the apostolic. You ain't going to help me on a Wednesday night. I said we're entering in to the greatest hour of the apostolic church. Hallelujah. Saints of an immediate response. Understand how to take the things that the devil throws at them and tries to use them for evil, and they understand how to turn it around and use it for the glory of God. Simply put, the trap of the enemy becomes the tool of the church. Pardon me if I'm reaching a little bit, but my mind just has to wonder what Paul could have done with an airplane. My mind just has to wonder what Paul could have done with an email address, or with a cell phone, or with Instagram account. I'm here to tell you tonight that if Paul could have traded in a sense to be able to win the world, he would tell you that you have the tools in your hand to win somebody to call. Instead of sitting around on Facebook and complaining about what you don't have, why don't you start testifying about what you do have? Instead of gossiping about your brother or your sister, you need to start using those things for the glory of God. Saints of an immediate response, understand that when something comes their way and it's strong and it could take you out, somehow you can bring it down and wrestle it down, and you can work it out through the help of God to the glory of God, and so that his truth will be preached, and so that revival will be had, and so that a breakthrough will be inevitable. I'm telling you tonight that saints of immediate response recognize it's not just another Wednesday night service. It's not just another Bible study. It's not just another person on the street that I walk by. But this is an opportunity for me to have revival. Hallelujah. We read about Paul in Acts chapter 14 preaching the gospel and raising the lame man. We read about Paul in Acts chapter 16, seeing the soothed, saying, damsel, delivered. But what we are so quick to understand or overlook is the fact that there was a short period of time, and theologians have argued about how long it is, so I'm not going to get into that tonight, but there was a short period of time that Paul spent praying, that Paul spent learning and fasting and believing and waiting on the moment that God told him to go. In a sense, Paul spent some time, Bishop, in obscurity where nobody knew his name. He was just another saint on the pew. Oh, I'm going to preach this. It's the Holy Ghost to help me. He was just another church member. He was just one that came and believed that God would do mighty things through him one day. Paul operated in the obscurity of the shadows, waiting on the word from heaven. This is your time to go. Don't get me wrong. The church has been working. We never stop working. But I believe that God is getting ready for the church to step in the forefront, such as Paul did, from off the back pew to the forefront of our world. And just like he did in Acts, And just like he did at Azusa Street, just like that, we're going to see him pour out his spirit. And when it comes, it's going to come with people like Peter and Andrew and James and John, just common folks that were coming to church, just good old folks that had a 9-to-5, that thought that they were just another saint, that finally one day got the recognition that I am a saint of an immediate response. And so while I'm on my job and I feel the quickening of the Lord to move, I move. And so while I'm going about my day, I can recognize when it's time to do something for the Lord. Hallelujah. They were working. They were active in doing something, but nobody knew who they were. These were the guys that everybody would assume would just live the rest of their life being fishermen. Paul was the guy that everybody assumed he would just spend. I mean, after all, he's done so much bad to the church. How could Paul ever do anything for God? Let's just let him take up the offering every now and again. Let's just let him come to church and pay his tithes and give his offering. But there was a day that came when God started dealing with Paul, and because Paul was a man of immediate response, he understood that I cannot sit on this pew for the rest of my life and not do something for God, but I have to be active. I have to respond when God calls me. We don't have time to debate the obvious. God has been preparing his people for this moment, and now is the time. Today is the day that we must step to the forefront and do what we're called to do. Say, preacher, you've been beating us over the head. I'm not beating you over the head for the last couple weeks. I promise you, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to get you to recognize what's inside of you is greater than the forces of hell that are pushing back against you. I'm trying to get you to recognize that you're a saint, and the part about being having an immediate response that relies on you. The Spirit has already made a way for you to lay hands on the sick. We talked about it on Sunday night. The Spirit's already made a way for you to cast out devils. Now it's time for the church to stand up and respond. I can't say it for every other church, but in this church, the best services that I've been a part of have been the services where somebody walks in and they don't wait on Brother Phillips, and they don't wait on Brother Collins, and they don't wait on Bishop Sutton, but they stand up and they begin to worship. They stand up and they begin to pray. And because they're saints of an immediate response, God comes down. I'm telling you tonight that my Lord, help me, Jesus. We don't have time to wait. We got to have revival today. We don't have time to wait. We got to have it right now. I'm telling you, night's coming when no man can work. Today is the day for you to teach that Bible study. Today is the day for you to respond.
I can almost picture Paul like I was as a young preacher. I'm sure he was a lot smarter than I was and am. I'm still a young preacher, but I'm getting fat and losing my hair, so I guess I'm making my exodus from the young preacher ranks. So I don't know how you consider that, but if that's any of the markings, I'm getting there. I can picture Paul as this young preacher a year or so into sitting on the pew, just sitting on the edge of his pew, saying, when I get that mic, when I get a chance, when God calls me to do something, and then we roll around to Acts chapter 13, and it's finally happening, and it's all real now. And then we see that a sorcerer is standing against him. But what the sorcerer did not understand is he wasn't standing against just a young preacher. He was standing against a saint of an immediate response. He was standing against a man that when God called him, he would move. I'm telling you that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more fast-paced everything's going to happen. And you're going to have to move quick, and you're going to have to recognize when God is moving. And so the Bible says, then Saul, which is called Paul, he being filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to whirl around, and he told the sorcerer that blindness was going to come upon men. it's intriguing to me that the very thing that caused Paul, Saul at the time on the road to Damascus to recognize Jesus Christ as God was the very thing that he spoke upon the sorcerer. And so we walk through this deal as he commands the darkness to fall upon him, and the darkness falls upon him. And the purpose of this, it's an Old Testament thing that we see coming through. We see it with the prophet as he looks at his helper, and he begins to pray that he would be able to see that there are more for them than there are for the enemy. And so he prays, and then blindness, you remember the story, falls upon the army. It's for the simple fact that they cannot move against the people of God. And so we see it again with the cloud, and we see it in Egypt as darkness falls upon Egypt. We see it with the cloud in the wilderness. It's all for the sole purpose of debilitating the enemy to come against God's people. And so what happens here is in this moment where this saying of an immediate response, the one thing he does is he calls down blindness so that this man will not be able to persecute against the church. But what I believe was happening is God was showing the enemy that when you come up against a saint of immediate response, it keeps you from being able to attack them, because they are the kind of people that are not going to sit around and wait on the pastor and say, "Hey, pastor, I've got a demon I need to cast out. Can you come down here and help me?" They're not going to call up the preacher and say, "Hey, there's a miracle that needs to happen." If you see where we're at right now, we're in a vein in the Holy Ghost. God is reminding us again. We're in the same place we were at on Sunday night, going towards the same direction. God is telling us that you're going to have to find yourself in a walk with God, that when you don't have time to call the pastor and you don't have time to call your prayer partner, that you can stand up like Paul and you can cast the demon out, or you can stand up like Paul and call blindness down on the enemy. Devil, I want you to know, I'm not a saint that you can push around. I'm a saint of an immediate response. And I say it again, if you push against me, I'm going to push back. If you come against my family, I'm only going to pray more, because I'm a saint of an immediate response. If you come against my mind, I'm only going to fast more, because I'm a saint of an immediate response. I know that there's darkness that's in this world, but I'm telling you right now, Apostolic Church, it's time to push back against the darkness like we never have before. Paul, you've been operating under the disguise of just another saint. You've been operating under the disguise as just another church set up on the hill. Let's be honest, there's been other churches that have had church in this building before. It's just another church. It's a phase. It'll come and it'll go. The devil would love nothing more than to get you to buy into the lie that it's just, we're just doing this because this is what we do. No, we're saints of an immediate response. And when God says go to Macedonia, we'll go to Macedonia, whether it be in a coffee shop, whether it be in a Bible study, whether it be in a track or whatever it is. And we're not just another building. It's not just another praise team. But what the world does not realize is we have been sitting, again, I'll say it like this, on the edge of our seat, such as Paul, as a young preacher, waiting for this moment. You want to know what happened in COVID? You got revealed in COVID. The church world started looking at you. Church world started recognizing that there are people that don't have to be in the building to live for God. Want to know why? Because they're saints of an immediate response. There are people that had enough relationship with God that during COVID they kept saying, "I still believe God can heal. I still believe God can work a miracle. I still believe God can make a way where there is no way. I'm a saint of an immediate response. And when God says go, I will go. And when God says work a miracle, I'll work a miracle." And when God, I'm telling you, that's where we're living right now. And if we've ever needed it before, we need it right now. Somebody to stand up and declare, "I know who I am, and I know in whom I have believed. And there's not a devil in hell or out of hell that's going to push back until I fall. I will not give up because I'm a saint of an immediate response. I will not give in because I'm a saint of
an immediate response.
You know what? Can I just put this in my own words? It's amazing to me the amount of people that come out of the world and are so quick-tempered, and they don't bring that into the church world. You say, well, I got deliverance from my anger. I get that. But the devil messes with you and your family, and you'll sit on the pew 6 months just hoping for God to slap him. All right, Lord, anytime now. No, you need to get some backbone and stand up against the devil for yourself. When you were in the world, wouldn't nobody look at you cross-eyed? Because they knew when you walked into the club, it was over. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with her. They crazy. They lost their mind. And then you come into church and sit there like a little whipped puppy. And the devil will mess in your mind and in your finance and in your family. And you just sit there waiting on fire from heaven to fall. Let me tell you something. He gave you the Holy Ghost for a reason. He said that you would receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, so that power that can work within you against that which is on the outside of you. I'm telling somebody today, you need to recognize who you are. You're not just a saint on a pew. You got the Holy Ghost. You got God living on the inside of you. And there's battles out there that have got to be won, but they're not going to be won by somebody playing tiddlywinks on the back pew or playing pickup jacks, but it's going to be won by somebody that'll stand up and say, I believe God is able, and I'm not afraid to stand up and declare that this is our city, this is our revival, this is our miracle, this is our breakthrough. Men of immediate response always attract problems in the community. See Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Again, if you want to know what raw apostolic revival looks like, just go read through the book of Acts and just hang out right there around Acts chapter 16. Camp on that a little bit. That's what raw apostolic revival looks like. The Bible says that there's two women that are saved here. One's name is Lydia. And the Bible tells us that she was a believer. So it's easy for us to believe for the believer. But then there's this woman that's possessed with a demonic spirit. And it's not as easy. You know what? I'm just going to step out here and say this, Bishop. It seems to me that it's been a long time since the apostolic church as a whole has seen people come in that were full of the devil and them get deliverance. Oh, it's done got quiet now. Because now, oh, help me, Jesus. Now we think that we can counsel it out. Well, need I say a little bit more? Now we think we can medicate it out. Because we're defined in our Western world. And I understand there are things that need medication and there are things that need counseling. But why don't we do what Jesus did and cast it out? Why don't we do what Paul did and cast it out? I'm telling you this. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. The more revival we have here in Birmingham and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we're going to see that happening again. People coming in that are full of the devil and they're going to want to act up. But somebody's going to say, hold your peace in Jesus' name and be delivered. And all of a sudden, the damsel that brought much gain to her masters can turn around and say, I'm no longer the same. You want to know why? Because it was a saint of an immediate response. That when God said go, he went. And when God told him to respond, he responded. The Bible says that Paul was grieved in his spirit. The spirit had followed him around and been talking about him and saying, these are the men of the Most High God, and it grieved him. He was oppressed is what that word means. But Paul got sick of being oppressed and stood up and said, I've had this long enough. I've dealt with it long enough. I've looked at it long enough. This has been in my way for too long. Come out of her. That's where we are right now. We've been getting along with the devil for too long. Woo, I feel like I just hit the stump right now. I'm plowing a little bit here. Because there's some of you are comfortable living with the devil. I'm not talking about your husband or your wife, so get that out of your head. You don't want to push back because you're scared of what's going to happen when you do. Revival will always bring retaliation. They go hand in glove. You won't ever have revival without some form of retaliation. We see that here in Acts chapter 16. He speaks to the spirit. It leaves this woman. And then what do? They catch them. They beat them. They strip off their clothes. And they throw them in prison. And so your revival will bring retaliation of the enemy. But watch what happens. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, now that they're in the prison cell, we find it in verse 25, that along about midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto the Lord. You see, when you're a saint of an immediate response, it'll get you in places that are uncomfortable. But your response to what's happening, your response to the retaliation is what really makes it powerful. Because you read here that they sang praises unto God, and then it makes special note to say, and the prisoners heard them. The next verse will tell you that suddenly, we're talking about something happening quickly. There was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, all the doors were opened. I'm telling you, when you're a saint of an immediate response, it draws God's immediate response. When you learn how to respond in the middle of tribulation, when you learn how to respond while you're in the prison cell, there's something about it that God just can't help but come down to the prison cell and say, I gotta shake all of this up. And because you were a saint of an immediate response, the prisoners that were there, everybody that hears you, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. The fact that you're responding is changing somebody else. The fact that you're moving when God says to move is shaking off the chains of those that are around you. Can I preach to a Paul or a Silas that feels as if they're in a prison cell right now? Can I tell you that when you responded to the word of God and it may feel like you got put in prison, that God cannot help but respond when you cry out to him and praise him from that place? It reacts with an immediate response from God.
I'm telling you right now is the season. I know I've said it maybe five times tonight, and I might say it five more by the time I get done. I got the mic. Na-na-na-da-boo-boo. I can say what I want to. But right now, let me just talk to some young people real quick. You don't have time to be playing around with God. You got to be a saint of an immediate response. If you're going to have revival in your high school, it's going to be because when God moves, you respond. You don't have time trying to figure. I understand every young person has to go through that whole figuring out who they are. But that's in your own world. You don't have time to figure out who you are in him. You got to move now. This generation has to move now. We're in a place where, if you'll allow me to just speak metaphorically, the stars are aligning in revival like we've never seen. Who's it coming to? Who's it coming to? Who's got to go move for? Who's he going to pour out his spirit on? It's not going to be on the deadhead sitting on the back row. And nothing against everybody sitting on the back row. But y'all ain't deadheads here. But it's not going to be on no deadhead that's just sitting there. Well, this is just another service, and I'm just hoping to get through it. A saint of immediate response. And so when the prophetic starts moving, you start moving with it. And when spiritual warfare starts happening, you pick up your sword and you go to the battlefield, and you don't wait to wonder about who, what, when, where, or why. You just understand that I have a job to do, and there's prisoners out there that need to know that because of my response, they can be delivered and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. As the musicians get ready to come, I want to take you very quickly through just a couple simple Bible stories. And the Gospels, there is a woman. The Bible tells us she has an issue of blood. This woman has spent 12 years living in obscurity. Now understand, there's something very, we always preach about it, and it's very true, but there's something greater than what we typically preach about happening here. We always talk about the battle that's going on in her mind or in her body, that she has to, she's weak. And she's frail, and she has to push through the crowd. And we always preach about, I've heard preachers preach it my whole life. You could see her little bony elbows getting in there and digging into the ribs. And she pressed until she touched the hem of his garment. But you have to understand, according to the Levitical law, that this is an uncleanness, just like leprosy. And so she has to go around just like the leper does. She can't touch anyone in the camp. She has to let them know that she is unclean. And so while there is a battle going on in her body, she's weak in body, but also there's a battle going on in her mind, because she understands that if she doesn't say I'm unclean and she gets caught in this crowd, that they can by law stone her. And so she has to know at this point that I have two choices. I can respond to him even though it might cost me my life, or I can stand here and miss out on a miracle. It's more than just going through the motions of getting into the press. There's a battle going on in her brain that says, if they catch me, if somebody notices who I am, they're going to drag me out of this crowd and they're going to kill me. But there was something in that woman. It was the spirit of a saint, of an immediate response that says, while Jesus is moving, I can't let what my body is going through, I can't let my situation hinder me from moving when he is moving. I'm going to preach to somebody right here. If you get to glory land and have all kind of excuses about why you couldn't and why you didn't and all of this stuff, Jesus is going to look at that little widow and elect that woman that had the issue of blood and call her over and say, honey, tell him about what you went through. And she'll start talking about how they could have killed her, but she recognized that the Spirit was moving. And while the Spirit's moving, you gotta move with it. While the water's being troubled, you can't sit and wait on somebody else to put you in the water. You can't sit around and expect Bishop to have your revival. Honey, a saint of immediate response, when he sees the water moving, he might be lame, but he starts dragging himself. He might be weak, but he starts dragging himself down to where the waters are. Well, somebody might get in before me. They might, but I'm still going to try to get there because I'm a saint of immediate response. I'm a saint that's looking for the next miracle. I'm a saint that's looking for the next breakthrough. I'm a saint that's looking for the next Bible study. I'm a saint that's looking for the next revelation. I am a saint of an immediate response. So here, I know where I'm at, because I told y'all, I felt what y'all are feeling right now. Let's just bring it out here. I know it's Wednesday night, and I don't expect you to swing from the chandeliers on Wednesday night. But do you feel that tightness? You feel that? Okay, I'm by myself right here. I asked you a question. Do you feel that? You know what that is? That's the devil saying, you sit down and you be quiet. That's the devil saying, don't you understand, Paul and Silas, where you are? Your hands and your feet are in locks and bonds. Well, I just got news for you. The devil messed up when he left their mouth open. Because a saint of an immediate response, you put him in a season where he feels bound up. You put him in a service on Wednesday night when it seems like the devil's winning. A saint of an immediate response, you can lock him up, you can tie him up, but if you leave his mouth open, honey, he'll praise God until the... until the chains begin to shake, until the walls begin to shake, until something in the atmosphere tears loose.
You can feel that spirit. Just be quiet. Bartimaeus, he don't want nothing to do with you. Oh, yeah, you can shout a little bit, but this is Wednesday night, and you're tired because you've been at work. Just sit down. It's Wednesday night. You can take one night. Hey, to saints of an immediate response, there are no days off. I eat revival. I sleep revival. I think revival. It's revival when I get up and revival when I go to bed. It's a saint of an immediate response says, I don't need everything to be just right before I praise him. Put me in a prison cell, but I'm still a praiser. Put me in locks and bonds, but I still know how to dance. Put me in a place where I feel as if the Spirit of the Lord is taken away, and I'm still going to find a way to have revival. I'm still going to find a way to command the atmosphere, and let's have church.
You ready? I got one question. Where's my saints of an immediate response?
I'm not asking you to respond to me. I can preach without any response. I'm asking you to respond to the situation that the enemy has put you in. I'm no hell pushed, but I'm asking you to push back. I know hell's mad, but I'm asking you to walk into the devil's territory, kick the devil in the mouth, and let him know it. I'm a saint of an immediate response, and there's power in my response. There's breakthrough in my response. There's deliverance in my response.
Here's where we are. It's spiritual warfare. We've been locked into this thing. I don't know how long I've been here now. 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. I don't know. We're locked in. Don't y'all do that. Don't pray over the college campus. Bartimaeus, you just be quiet. I think God put this place up here on this hill for a reason. When I was a kid, we used to go down to the creek and play. We had a game we played, King of the Hill. And all of us, I got cousins out the yin-yang. I got all boy cousins except for two. And you can imagine what it was like with about 15 or 20 boys around Christmas time. My aunts and uncles and mom and dad, they all used to argue about whose house we were going to, because they knew something was going to get broke. You put that many country boys in one spot, something's going to get messed up. When I was a kid, we played this game. With all of us boys go down to the creek, and we had a big rope swing, you know, the whole country boy thing. And right in the middle of the creek, there was this big sandbar. It was about 4 foot wide by about 6 foot long. And whoever was the baddest, Brother Jermaine, is the man that could stand on the hill and hold the hill. And when I pulled up to this church for the first time, I'll be honest with you, that's the first thing I thought about. The one that holds the hill. They called it King of the Hill for a reason. We called it King of the Hill for a reason. That meant you were like royalty. That meant you had power. Oh, I know it's simple, but it's what I feel like preaching right now. That meant that you were the one that had control. Do you recognize where you're on the hill, honey? Now what you gonna do? Are you gonna let the devil push you off the hill? Hey, I'm gonna tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to make you just like the last church that was here and say, we're downsizing. I got news for the devil. When we leave here, we're upsizing. Because we're saints of an immediate response. I don't know what you're going through right now, but whatever it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how bad it is, and no matter how tough it is, I want you to respond to God as strong as the enemy's been fighting you. I want your praise to be that strong. As bad as it's been, I want your praise to be that much better. A saint of an immediate response. Come on, somebody step out on faith and say, devil, do whatever you got to, but I'm a saint of an immediate response. I'm not going to take it laying down. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight, and we will win.
I'm done. I promise. This is my third close, and I'm out. But the Bible says, I want to reiterate this very quickly, that all the prisoners heard them. Everybody that knew what Paul and Silas, now they ain't just in prison, honey. They've been stripped. They've been beat. They've made a mockery of them. They pointed fingers and said, yeah, that's them crazy apostolic people that run the aisles and jump up and down and act crazy. And they beat them up, and now they're in jail. But you see, your praise when you're in prison isn't just about you. It's about those that are around you. Everybody heard them. Now here's the thing. This is how powerful you are. You saying of an immediate response. I can't find anywhere else in the Bible where anybody else was praising. Nobody else was singing. Nobody else was clapping their hands. They just heard them. And it was almost like they were at a concert. Jailhouse rock, baby. They were sitting in prison and hearing somebody else sing, hearing somebody else praise. But because they were within the vicinity to be able to hear it, when the praiser got delivered, they got delivered with them. Now, I know they may not be here, but there's people in the vicinity of your job, in the vicinity of where you live, in the vicinity of this church. They're not here right now, and maybe not in the natural, they can't hear, but I'm telling you, when a saint of an immediate response starts crying out from a prison cell, there's something in the spirit that goes down the hallways of the jail cells, and people start hearing, and people start feeling. You praise God for what you've been through, but I wonder, could you lift up a shout of praise that somebody else on Roebuck Parkway, when you get delivered, they can get delivered too. Somebody else, when you come out, they get to come out. When you got set free, they get set free. And they walk into the church, and I don't know what happened, but something happened. Oh, when I do, I'll say to them.
immediate response. Started responding to the call of the Lord. And God started working. And God started delivering. And God started moving. Somebody shout. Like all of Rome. It's feeling good. Somebody dance. Like all of Rome. It's getting delivered.
Holy Ghost right now. You ought to shout. You ought to dance. You ought to give God praise.
Somebody pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Saturate my soul. Pour it out.
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 Pour it out. Send your spirit. Send your rain. Send your glory.
If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get it. Because this is a church of an immediate response. If you need a miracle, you can get it. Because this is a church of an immediate response. If you need a breakthrough, don't leave without it.
Release
me, Jesus. Pour it out on me, Jesus. Yeah, 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 yeah.
For Alex receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name tonight. And we want to give God thanks for Brother Chris was filled with the Holy Ghost right here on the altar tonight. Talked in tongues just like they did in the Word of God. It's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name on Sunday night. Look, God is doing a wonderful work. And I'm just telling you, if you can get 20 empty vessels into the house Sunday morning, God's going to fill them. If you can get 20 in the house Sunday night, God's going to fill them. This is just like the prophet and the little woman and her sons. You go out to the city, you get some empty vessels, you bring them to the house of God. And just like that story, God's going to fill those empty vessels, and it won't stop flowing until all the vessels are full. I believe that tonight. Let's give God some praise. Let's magnify Him.